Good morning, good afternoon, good night. It's Testimony on the mic. Yo, this series is getting hot. Like, okay, I'm gonna, let's not, because this is Christian and we're talking about hot and, you know what? Yeah, we're not gonna do that. We're not gonna do that. But what we are going to do is talk about this episode, and it's about anxiety and fear leading us into the valley of people pleasing. Mercy. I don't know about you, but I know that I'm ready to do what we do and get started with prayer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another episode, for another beautiful day, for another blessed moment in time to do your will, God, to serve the people, Lord, to please you, mercy, and to strengthen our souls and stand firm in your word and in your guidance, Lord. We thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go into this episode on anxiety and fear, I bind up every spirit of anxiety and every spirit of fear. For your word says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, and hallelujah. We praise your holy name. Amen. So, now, anxiety. Y'all, anxiety is a major culprit in cahoots with fear when it comes to people pleasing. What do you mean, testimony? Why'd you say that? All right, check this, right? So, when you're anxious, it's about people. It's about what they're going to think, how they're going to feel, what they might say and do. And it turns out we get anxious because we are fearful that they might reject us, dislike us, disregard what it is we might say, how we're feeling, disapprove of us, or what it is that we may be doing or saying. And or simply just the fact that they might reduce us. Like, not that you can be reduced because you're planted in God and God is a big God and you serve a big God. It doesn't, listen, it's how you view yourself. Nobody can reduce you unless you think and feel as though you're able to be reduced, right? And yes, they may try to use their words and treat you like you're nothing, but you know you mean everything to somebody. Even if nobody on this planet Earth ever lets you know that you mean something to them, you mean everything to the Most High God. Amen. And that's a fact, not a fiction. It's a fact. Now, the thing is that all of this stems from the feeling and or the thought that we're supposed to be pleasing them and winning their approval. Like they could do something for you that God can't and won't do. If not bigger. You guys, the only person that you ever have to worry about pleasing is God and having his approval. Because at the end of the day, like, listen, mercy, a good amount of the things you've done, he's not even judging you for, right? So who's anybody else to look at what you're doing or saying and judge like they're God? This is not the court of law. this, they're not the judge. There is no jury. It's just them and their opinion and their feelings. And granted, everybody's allowed to have an opinion. Nonetheless, though, not everybody's opinion is valid. At least not in my life. And I hope it's not the, and I hope it's not valid in your life as well. Because sometimes people state opinions just to bring you down and break your heart. And God forbid that we ever let their condemning opinions into our hearts and minds and our spirits. God forbid. Because we have been told, right? Let's just go to the book of Joshua real quick. We have been told that mercy. All right, here we are. So in Joshua 1, verses 6, 8, 7, and 9, it is written, "Be strong and of good courage." Only be strong and very courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And this was God's commission to Joshua. Go read the whole chapter. Not just read it, but really, really get into it and study. And the things that will stand out to you, my brethren, are very profound. That's just what it is. So now, back to feeling or thinking like we're supposed to be pleasing these people and are winning their approval. You may think, or you may say, but that's my friend. That's my family. That's my boss. I'm supposed to be about their joy and happiness. Listen, listen, listen. The only person responsible for their happiness is themselves, right? You can add to what people already have, right? And you may even be there and be the one to plant the seed. Nonetheless, though, it's up to every single one of us to nurture what is planted inside of us, right? What you nurture is what grows. And let's see. Okay, for example, let's say I only ever paid attention to all the bad memories and bad things that ever happened in my life, right? I'm nurturing the seed of discouragement. I'm nurturing the seed of hurt. I'm nurturing the seed of, let's say, hate. I don't like hate because I believe that's a very strong word. And I don't know, it's not my mojo. I very much despise things, and I despise what people say, and I dislike the things that people do. I don't dislike people. I dislike their characters. I don't hate people. I just like their, you know, yeah, that's my point. But the point is, right, what you nurture is what grows. And if you're saying that you're responsible for their happiness and their joy, this, that, and the third, in terms of your boss, you're responsible for the task that you've been assigned. And doing your best at that. For your family, you're responsible for, you know, showing up and being present during family gatherings. You're responsible for, you know, serving your family in the way that you can serve best. And as for your friends, being a friend is a lot more than people ever think it is, right? And say it is. Being a friend, you're responsible for showing up for them, for, you know, being a, like, if you're not able to be available, you make time, right? You make time, you make room for who it is and what it is that you want in your life. Nonetheless, those, like, putting yourself in a position of complete responsibility is something that only God really is responsible for. And because, like it says in his word, the peace he gives, the world cannot take away. Right? And if you're going to be responsible for them and everything, at what cost? You're out here being all anxious and fearful instead of being calm and collected. And most importantly, trusting in God and trusting that God has it all figured out and worked out. Mercy. And that's something we should all be focused about, right? We all deserve to be able to trust in the one that created us. And when I really think about it, trust is very important. And yes, it's important to have faith because, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Nonetheless, though, we're also instructed to trust, to have faith without doubting. And when you have doubt, it's because there's a lack of trust. There's a trust deficit. Mercy. And when you don't have trust, right, it's kind of hard to entirely and fully believe and let go and let God. So, yeah, it's very important that we trust that God has it all figured out and worked out. And in terms of everything else that we've been talking about in regards to anxiety and fear, let's go ahead and get into our word, right? So, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." What does that mean? When there's fear, right? Fear can be, what's the word I'm looking for? It was really right there at the tip of my tongue. Fear could have you frozen, right? And when you're in a state of fear, you're thinking of everything else but trusting God, right? You're thinking of how you can get out of the situation, what else you can do about this, what could go wrong, how everything is, like, you know, crumbling down, this, that, and the third. But outside of fear, you have the power, you have the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. When you have a sound mind, you're able to really think things through. With love in your heart and on your mind, you're able to think things through and, you know, come about the right solutions or the right probable solutions. And with the spirit of power in you, you're able to trust that God is guiding you and execute the proper fitting solution that has been bestowed upon you through the Holy Spirit, through the spirit of your sound mind, right? And now, let's go ahead and look at, let's go take a look at Philippians 4:6, right? In Philippians 4:6, we're told, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What does that mean? It means that anything and everything that can cause you to be anxious, right? Because you're not walking around in PetMart worried about if your cat is going to like this water dispenser, if your dog is going to be good with this food bowl dispenser. You feel me? You're not worried. You're not getting anxious about none of that, right? So anything and everything, whether you think it's very insignificant, right? And you're probably thinking to yourself, man, it's probably dumb for me to be asking God about. It's not dumb. You're supposed to take that to Him in prayer with thanksgiving. So it's like, God, I thank you for, you know, listening in and always being there for me and literally caring about everything that concerns me, both big and small, even the most minute things. Because God is detailed, right? He works in the big boom and everything. Nonetheless, though, it's really in the details. Like, you see it happening big, but it's really about the details, because sometimes even the details bypass us. But God notices everything. He takes notice of every single thing, right? So let's check it. Check this with me real quick. And so when we take everything to Him in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, right? We're grateful. We're showing that we're grateful for His grace and His mercy and His blessings, right? And then we're releasing the things that are able to take our mind away from God. Because I'm telling you, you'll be worried about the smallest things too, and that's taking your focus from the one that could literally just have that gone like that. What? You mean, but I blink and it's done with. That's how powerful our God is. That is, yo, there is no limit to His presence, to His power, to His peace, and to His love, and to His blessings. There's no limit. He's a limitless God. Nonetheless, though, we in our fecal, mindless state of mind are out here trying to put God in a box. And my prayer for every single one of you is that every time somebody in your life places a limit on God in His doings, even when it's you, I pray that every single time God blows your mind and He surpasses, He breaks off those limits so you can really see and you're going to marvel. You're going to be like a speechless, right? Just straight speechless. And then, you guys, there's a verse in here that I want y'all to mercy. It's going to have your mind blown. Trust me. Look, right? It's not going to be the next thing I bring up. So the next one I'm going to bring up, though, is going to be Psalms 56, verse 3. And it reads, right? Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Period. Like, literally, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. And this was written by David when the Philistines had captured him in Gath, right? And the significance is superior, because it's just like, this man was captured by his adversaries, by his enemies, and all they thought to do was to harm him, you know, make everything he said be something else, and everything else, like, just basically paint David to be this person that he isn't, right? And granted, David has his own thing, nonetheless, though, he's considered a man after God's heart. So if God calls David a man after his heart, who is anybody to ever make him come off as something that he's not? They were basically stalking your boy. They've been stalking him, putting traps, like trying to harm him. And in here, he's just like, God, whenever I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in you. And you know the famous saying that we serve a God who even puts our tears in a bottle. He knows the number of our tears and everything. That is from this very same chapter. So go read Psalms 56 and really meditate on it, right? And the next verse we're going, the next book, chapter, and verse we're going to dive into. Well, currently we're still in Psalms. We're just going to go to Psalms chapter 118. 118, verse 6, which reads, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Now, mind you, the only thing men are able to do is literally kill you, your body, your physical flesh. But your spirit is still there. Not in your flesh, because you're dead, right? In the physical, you're dead. So he says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" And then when we go to when we go to Isaiah 41:10, right? God says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Okay, testimony, but this isn't the Old Testament. What are you talking about? You see that last part where he says, "I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Yo, who do we know is seated at the right hand of God? Jesus, right? So, mercy. So let's go ahead and look at this in another verse, right? In the Message version, it reads, "There's no need to fear, for I am your God. I will give you strength. I will help you. I'll hold you steady and keep a firm grip on you," right? And in the Amplified version, it says, "Do not fear anything, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Be assured, I will help you, mercy. And I will certainly take hold of you with my righteous right hand, a hand of justice, of power, of victory." Y'all, check this, check this. "Of salvation." Hallelujah. Because God is great. He is the greatest and forever merciful and gracious and abundant in everything that he bestows upon us. Mercy. This is a foretelling. This was a foretelling of what would be taking place in the New Testament, of Jesus being revealed in the flesh, of God being revealed in the flesh as Jesus, his one and only Son. Mercy. And then, right, let's go, ahead and check in. Let me see. Our next verse is going to be Proverbs 29:25. In Proverbs 29:25, we're told that the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Snare, what's that? What does that mean? A snare is kind of like a trap, right? A snare is a trap. Well, the dictionary definition from Oxford American Dictionary is a trap for catching birds or animals, typically one having a noose of wire or cord. And then, there's other definitions, but the next one is a catch or trap for someone, right? Now, in the Message version, it says the fear of human opinion disables. Trusting in God protects you from that. Because when you're scared, when you fear what people may think or say or do, right? Sometimes you're not able to carry out what it is that you've been instructed to do or what it is that you had been, planning to do. Mind you, you already have the execution plan written down on paper and everything. But the moment fear starts to creep in, you start second guessing. God forbid, right? You start second guessing, and then all of a sudden, you're not good. You don't want to anymore. You're good. Like, you'd rather very much not, because now your focus isn't on the one leading you. Your focus is now on the people. That are created by the same one leading you and has been created you. How'd that work out? It literally didn't, and it doesn't, right? So that's why it says, whoever trusts in and puts his confidence in the Lord will be exalted and safe. That's the Amplified version. And y'all, the kicker verse, mercy. The kicker for this, brethren, just go ahead and turn with me to Matthew 10, verse 28. And this is when Jesus is teaching and talking about the fear of God, right? And do not fear those who killed the body but cannot kill the soul. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the people, the same creation, just as you have been created by God. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. And I said this earlier, they can literally kill your flesh, your physical flesh. Like, you're gonna bleed, right? You're gonna bleed. And that's it. But your soul is still going to be there. Your soul is still alive. Your soul is still present, right? And he goes on to say, but rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now you're probably thinking, dang, that went dark. No, it's just the fact of the matter, right? And let me read to you what the Message version says. Do not be bluffed into silence by the threats of bullies. There's nothing they can do to your soul, your core being. Save your fear for God, who holds your entire life, body and soul, in his hands. Because the truth of the matter is, there really isn't much people are able to really do. And, somebody may end up being like, oh, but, a gun, this, da, 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 da. Like, dude, What about a gun? Right? What's that going to do? Kill the same flesh that I... That what? Like, they're not... It's not doing anything, right? And the moment we start to fear, we're stuck. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Glory be to God. With that being said, I'm going to go ahead and close out, and we're just going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that every word that I have spoken, Lord, reaches those that it needs to. And I pray that their spirit is blessed and firmed in your word. Father, Lord, I pray that every spirit of anxiety and fear is bound up. And I pray that they be anxious for nothing. And I pray that they bring everything to you in supplication and prayer with thanksgiving, Lord. I pray that you teach them how to pray. I pray that you teach their spirits to close off to fear. I pray that you teach them and instruct them and guide them on how to turn away from fear and face you, Lord, and keep their focus in you and on you. And I pray over this trust deficit that we face in this generation, Lord. I pray that our trust grows in you. I pray that our faith and our trust in you grows daily. And I pray that it is solidified daily by your grace and by your mercy and through our faith, Father, Lord, in you. Because yes, we may have mountains of faith. Nonetheless, though, we're instructed to trust and not doubt. And I just pray that through our faith in you and through you and by your spirit and by your power, that we are able to cancel out fear in every way, shape, and form as we live until thy kingdom come. Mercy. Thank you, God, for everything. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all. Ciao. And please, come back, because we're not done. We still got more. Stay safe. Always be a blessing. And stay blessed. I love you. And Jesus loves you more.